So the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. And basically it's love's perfect gift is what I've called it. Love being God himself. In Galatians 3, 9, 13 and 14 and 29. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We, that's those who believe and have committed our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I look around this room, that's every one of us here. We are Abraham's seed by faith. We've been joined together in being born again. We've been born into Abraham's bloodline, if you like. Praise the Lord. So I am the seed of Abraham. I am the product of a blood-sworn oath. You are the product of a blood-sworn oath, a covenant cut between God and his firstborn son. The Lord Jesus Christ is our blood brother. Praise the Lord. And that puts me, all of us, in a blood covenant with our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And as a blood brother of Abraham, anything God promised him belongs to me. Abraham prospered everywhere he went. And that prosperity belongs to us as Abraham's seed. Now, some people, when you speak about prosperity, and I've said this before, they turn off because they think, oh, blab it and grab it. You get these awful sayings that the enemy has planted in people's minds. You can't blab anything and get it. You can take any word of God for a situation and just try blabbing it. And without faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, it won't bring a thing. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing. But whatever the kingdom of God needs to do on this earth, it requires resources. You can't do anything without resources, even when Jesus... And with his disciples, for him to get the word out, they had to have resources. They had people would give in to the ministries to support them. And you had that with Paul and the various groups at Ephesus, all in Corinthians and that. And people would give in as people would work. So the ones who were the preachers, the teachers, could minister in the word, study and reach out to others. And it all takes resources. And God's got all those resources there in his people. And he just wants us to believe and release those. We've all got a part to play in that. So prosperity is far more than just money and goods. But it does include goods. And Abraham was very blessed. He even had to have an army to go off and sort out things after Lot got taken and different things. And God blessed him. He became great in many areas. But he was also great in his faith in the Lord and his faithfulness to the Lord and to do what was right before the Lord. And I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places because I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham is mine. And a well-known preacher was told by God not to ever put pressure on people. Now, you'll know that from you've watched on TV over the years, there are ministries even today, they do put pressure on people. You know, they try and get every cent out of you they can, their approach. And sometimes you think, I can't hear Jesus standing there doing it like that, you know. And that. Anyway, this preacher was told, and he said, not to ever put pressure on people, but to put pressure on my word instead. Put pressure on the blessing of Abraham that's yours in Christ, and it will bring in what you need. And I know for a fact that particular ministry, that has been blessed, and they've reached out around the world, they've got things going on all over the place, and as they've put the pressure on God's word, and when they've had nothing, they've believed God and said, Lord, you told us to do it, we believe we're the blessed of seed of Abraham in you, and that you will provide every need through your blessing. And it's come in, and they've reached out and done great exploits for God. Praise the Lord. Being blessed includes far more, as I said, than having money. It's only one small portion of the blessing. The Lord puts the pieces together for us one at a time. That's how we learn to grow. no one has ever learned anything advanced or complex all at once. It's a process in the spiritual as in the natural. We must build on one revelation after another. And some people get down in the dumps, you know, that they walk along so far and everything need seems to get met, bang, 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 bang. And then suddenly things seem to slow up or not quite getting what we should. But, you know, we are children of God. And just as with our children, you know, there comes a time where they have to start to develop and learn to do things for themselves. And you sow into them, and then it's time for them now. If you just carry on doing that all their lives, they'll be adult babies, useless, no good to themselves, anyone else, and their life basically gets ruined as a result of it. And those pictures are the same for us. And God has to do exactly the same with us. We, you know, that's the way mankind is. That's the way we live. We learn, we develop. And we couldn't handle it all at once either, you know. And during the Dark Ages, the devil tried to strip the church of her power and rob her of revelation. So because you had, you know, the New Testament church came about at the time of Jesus. And then you had the apostles, and they were under great pressure from the traditional religious people of the day and stuff. And various assaults on them happened. People implanted themselves into the church groups there to cause division, to false prophesy, to do all sorts of trying. You know, the enemy was determined to try and break apart what God was doing, but he can't. He can't stop it. But when people start to listen to those things, obviously the work of the Lord is diminished in the fact that you've got a remnant where it will continue with, but then you've got this huge great mass of people who are deceived and we're not getting what they should. And the Dark Ages, when you read history and see some of the awful things man did, the Roman Catholic Church, the English Church and that to one another, you know, and there wasn't love. It was you do what I say, the way I say it, and that's it. Or you get tortured, you get put to death. And it's when you look at history and some of the things they've unearthed, it's horrendous what man is capable of doing to his fellow brothers and sisters. And the devil robbed the church of the power and revelation by getting ungodly leaders to look up the word in monasteries. So it was away from God's people. And as you know, especially like in UK places like that, most people, they couldn't read or write. They needed somebody to read it to them. And it was very expensive. It was hidden away. And those people that did have access to it, there were some good, godly people who really did reach out to folks. But in general, you know, it was, we'll tell them this bit, or we'll tell them that bit. And we'll tell them they've got to give so much every week, or they've got to, you know, do penance for this and that. They weren't giving them the truth of the Word of God. They were telling them what they wanted to, often for their own ends, to build their own, you know, religious empires. And the Lord's been restoring to us lost truths since Martin Luther's day, around the 1500s, foundational truth of the new birth, the just live by faith. Now that's getting back to the blessing of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." That Greek, that lets us in, the Gentiles. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And if you look at that word faith in the Strong's Concordance, and the root it comes from, it means things like confidence and that. You know, so you're growing confidence from that bit of confidence. That then gives you confidence. So you're growing all the time in faith. That faith is giving you a boldness, that ability to stand. And after that revelation, God started adding others. Through the Pentecostal movement in the 1900s, God took us from the new birth to the scriptural truth about baptism in the Holy Spirit. And Matthew 3:11, "He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Praise the Lord. And 40 years later, the great healing revival started, and he restored revelation about divine healing. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "For who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed." And that was being picked up again. And God was saying, "Look, folks, you know, this is what I've done for you." And he started breaking it open. And I know, I don't, some of you are a bit older than me, and you've seen perhaps some of the A.A. Allen revival stuff. I've only seen bits about it. But I've experienced bits of this revival where healing and that became established. I've seen people have fantastic healings. I've experienced it my very own self. And they're absolute miracles. Praise the Lord. And there's an expectation now. We don't believe that we've got to go and earn that right anymore. God's revealed to us the truth of it. And during the charismatic movement in the 1960s, he added a revelation about the gifts of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12, 4-10 says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." It's about all. Love isn't just about you. God is love, and anything he does is about everyone. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." And of course, as the word was being printed and able to get out around to the world and be shipped out, Bibles in numbers like it had never been known before, and then the Lord was able then to get them in people's hands through various ministries, and then men of God who were quickened and anointed with the word, and that were then able to set people free and show them the truth and liberate them from the bondages of religion. They praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And at the end of the 1960s, he taught us about the power and integrity of the written word and how to operate by faith in that word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And Mark 11, 23-24 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And God develops us as individuals and as his body, a little at a time, step by step. He takes us from faith to faith. He brings us to the place where mountains in front of us, obstacles that would seem impossible, and that's if your faith has been developed, you've studied his word, you've spent time in his presence, you know about him, and you have confidence in his word, and suddenly those mountains start to crumble and fall apart. Those powers and authorities which stood in opposition to you start to crumble because of what God has done. Hallelujah. And Romans 1:16-17, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The just shall live by faith.'" And just as we read that once before, it's important for us to realise it's from faith to faith. You know, don't get discouraged. Just stay with it and it'll grow. God's word, the seed of life in you, will grow. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We must never forget that. There are scriptural truths we've not yet learned, and things in the word we have not yet seen. It's God is showing us a bit of the time. I often liken it to when you're in Switzerland, got Kathy there from Switzerland. You know, you walk around and you head up the mountains and you think, oh, that's just up there. Or, I know what that's like. Oh, yeah, do you? And from where you're standing, you could give a description and it would be exactly right. But is it the full truth, the full picture? No, it isn't. When you walk up, suddenly you find that plateau's out. There's all this area to climb and go through. And there's these beautiful areas here. There's lakes and all sorts of stuff you could never imagine from where you're positioned. But it's as you climb up and as you go up, suddenly it becomes revealed and comes open, you see it. And as we climb up in the Lord and He takes us on His word, suddenly we're able then to see, you know, things we've never seen before. And it's being revealed and broken open to us. So God isn't finished with us yet. It's when we forget that fact that we get stuck. We start thinking that our group, denomination, etc. knows all there is to know. And we don't. And at times, I guess we, like many others, we've made that mistake and I had to turn to the Lord and say, sorry, Lord, forgive our attitude. We were wrong. And examples of this are all around us, where groups have become entrenched in one revelation and refuse to move on when new light and new revelation comes forth. We are grateful to each group that has brought us new revelation. But we must not become so encamped that we won't move on into new revelation experiences God has for us. And that's so important. And even as we see these days unfolding now we're in, we need that revelation. We must use all that has gone before us as a building base. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So like it says, till we all come. So we haven't all come there yet, praise the Lord. We're on our way. They're all parts of one blessing. The blessing. The blessing spoken over Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all started. And that's where God spoke the first blessing. And Genesis 1:28 says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And Jesus didn't become Abraham's seed and come to die on Calvary for himself. He did it solely for us to restore that blessing, to get us back to that place He intended right from the beginning. And as we go through, I'll show you how the empowerment of the blessing is there right from the very beginning. And Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. From the very beginning, God has a plan for man. He is the same today as yesterday. His plan hasn't changed. Just as He's not changed. He had this plan in place before He created us. He knew what He was doing. He had a plan for to create the earth and to create a family. God is love, and love wants a family, you know, to love and to, you know, grow and develop. Praise the Lord. And He's not changed. So it all started right at the beginning. And James 1:17 says, every gift and every perfect gift, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, no shadow of turning, no change. He's still the same yesterday, today, forever. One of the most basic facts of God's nature is that He is the same. And the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, describes God in detail, finally summing Him up in three breathtaking yet simple New Testament words. God is love. And you find that in 1 John 4:8. And the Old Testament makes the same declaration. It says God is full of compassion. And if you look at Psalm 78, verse 38, but He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. He did not destroy them. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. And Psalm 111, verse 4 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Old Testament also says, God is long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. And Psalm 86, verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And if you actually look at what that word actually means in the Hebrew, it's abundant. It's one thing when you say somebody says, oh, so he's got plenty. Somebody's got, you think, well, that's okay, he's got plenty, he's got plenty. But when somebody says, he's got an abundance, that's a big difference. The emphasis is different. Mm-hmm. And that word actually means abundance. So, if you can read that same scripture again, it says, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Oh, I'm so glad he is. Mm-hmm. I think he'd have got fed up with me ages ago if he wasn't. And that word, abundant, is rab in the Strong's Concordance there, it's 07227 if anybody wants to look it up. And the definition means abundant. And Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So right from the very beginning, his tender mercies has been there. He didn't write mankind off when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. The old enemy came in and deceived them, and they fell and went, you know, all the accounts since where man has walked away from the Lord. But because of that abundance of mercy, he's not given up on us, so the Lord. And the word Lord here refers to the personal name of God, Yehovah. Strong's number 03068. And is the same name revealed by God to Moses when he told him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, and when he answered Moses' cry to see his glory. And if we look at Exodus 3, verses 13 to 14, it says, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord Jehovah, God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. And don't remember, they didn't have a written Bible to refer to. Mm. How did they remember and know? Because the forefathers would teach. They knew that they were of the line of Abraham. They knew about Isaac. They knew about Jacob. They knew about Joseph. They knew why they'd ended up in Egypt. It's all there. So, and God was saying to them, look, I'm the God of those patriarchs who told you about me. It's I am. In Exodus 33:19, it said, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And that's the same word, Lord, again. Exodus 33:20-23. And he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand in the rock. And so it shall be, when my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. The true pronunciation of the name was lost millennia ago, because the Jews held it so sacred, they refused to even say it aloud. In a vain attempt to translate it, the Bible translated it Jehovah in English, or simply substituted it with the word Lord. But whether we can pronounce it or not, we can be clear about this. God's name is good because he is the good God. He is all the good there is. He is 100 100% good, and there is not one trace of bad in him. And that's Kenneth Copeland actually said that, and I've quoted him direct because puts it together better than I could. If God had passed his goodness in front of Moses without protecting him, his goodness would have burned up anything bad in him. Moses would have died. But God's goodness made a way. And right from the very start in the Garden of Eden, God's goodness has been making a way. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The verse could be read these different ways. In the beginning, love created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, compassion created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, goodness created heaven and earth. But if you put it all together, in the beginning, the God who is absolute love, compassion and goodness created the heaven and the earth. Praise the Lord. So right at the very start, he is there. It's all about him. His love is compassion. And his compassion created the universe because God needed someone to love. Compassion needs an outlet, and it's not satisfied with selfish endeavours. And Genesis 1:3, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God set things in motion with his word. He said, and it was. And the New Testament says it, in the beginning was the word. We know that scripture very well, John 1:1. And Nelson Thomas, study Bible, in the annotations for John, it says, John 1:1, in the beginning, and Genesis 1:1, starts with the moment of creation and moves forward to the creation of humanity. And John 1:1 starts with the creation and contemplates eternity past. The fact that the Word was with God suggests a face-to-face relationship. And this is important, this, because in the ancient world, it was important that a person of equal station be on the same level or face to face, whether you were sitting across from one another or you stood in front of each other. Thus, the word with indicates a personal relationship, but also implies equal status. The Word was with God, Jesus with God, equal status, praise the Lord. The Word, Jesus Christ himself, is an active person in communication with the Father. You look at 1 John 1 verse 2. Moreover, the Word was God. And the word order in Greek shows that the Word was God, not a God. This is a straightforward declaration of Christ's deity, since John uses word to refer to Jesus. The Word was the very quality of God, while still retaining his personal distinction from the Father. In John 1:1-3, when making scriptural substitutions learned in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with compassion, and the Word was compassion, and all things that were made by compassion. And without compassion was not anything made that was made. And compassion said, love said, goodness said, light be. The English translation, let there be light, is weaker than the original text, which is shorter and far more forceful. The original Hebrew text reveals the universe exploding into existence at God's direct command. God said light, and light was. And over the years gone by, the scientists have come to the place where they said it all started with a big bang. You know, well, it did. It did all start with a big bang. It exploded at his command. But it wasn't just an undefined explosion. It was a controlled explosion. Just like people who are trained in the art of using explosives today. You've got that rock you need to remove. They know exactly how deep to drill. They know exactly what force to put to it. And when that rock comes down, they get out of it exactly what they want. It isn't just an unscripted action. This is important because God was bringing forth a family of creators made in his image. And it is a crucial part of his plan for us to call into being those things that be not as though they were. Romans 4:16-17 says, Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham. Praise the Lord, that's us. Who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That was what was written about Abraham. And in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And so Genesis 1:6, verse 9, verse 11, 14 to 15, 20 to 29 and 24. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Then God said, each time God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And verse 7, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding, a herb that yields seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. In 14 and 15, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And verses 20 and 21 says, then God said, let the waters abound, and an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth and across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures, every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And it's bound to be good. He's good. He couldn't create anything but good. Then God said, this verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, the cattle, creeping thing, and the beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. God said, and it was so. Speaking is God's creative method. And if we look at Hebrews 1:3, it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. God doesn't use words lightly. He pours himself into his words. Words filled with faith and spiritual substance. According to Genesis 1:14-19, the sun and the moon weren't created until day 4. So what was it that God released on day 1? It was the light of his own glory. When God said light be, he released enough power to cause the universe to explode into being. If we look at 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him. We declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Pure light, there's no shadow. In Psalm 27, the psalmist wrote, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And God created all things through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 verse 9, the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Praise the Lord. And light is more than a quality God possesses. It's who he is. It is his very nature. Just as he is love, he's light. Old Testament and New Testament scriptures confirm this. Genesis 15:7 says, God appeared to Abraham as a burning lamp. Exodus 13:21, the children of Israel were in the, had left Egypt, they're on their way, and that, and God was what? He was a pillar of fire. Psalm 104 verse 2, and God revealed himself as the one who covers himself with light as a garment. Ezekiel 1:26-27, appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. And Habakkuk 3:4, brightness like the light, rays flashing from his hands. And Acts 2:3, on the day of Pentecost, when God poured out his spirit on the disciples, there appeared unto them tongues as a fire, distributed and resting upon them. In Revelation 4:5, John saw God on his throne with lightning and fire around about it. In Revelation 21:3, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Hallelujah. And from Genesis to Revelation, God is light. So using scripture to interpret scripture, God's glory light became the basis of all matter. Ephesians 1:3-5 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestined and adopted us as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." When God created the world, he had us in mind. And from the outset, God's intention was to create his family surrounded by absolute good. Acts 17, 26, 28. "And he made from one," this is in the Amplified Bible, "and he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, lands and abodes, so that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel after him and find him, although that he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live, we move, we have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." And on day six of creation, all was ready for God to form the first member of his earthly family. Genesis 1, 26, 28. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves." Verse 28 doesn't say, "And God said, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over it." Didn't just send out. No, what did he do? He blessed them. And blessing is the empowerment. Mm. And that's what the blessing does. It empowers. Hallelujah. The blessing of God. And that's why God wants and it has brought us back under the blessing of Abraham, the covenant. The very thing he gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. He blessed them. He empowered them. Their whole image changed once they fell. They went looking for clothes, making clothes, something, and you became where they were naked. They radiated light and glory just like God did. And God's restoring the blessing back. Praise the Lord. Mm. Genesis 2:7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That word "formed" is the word yetzel. Strong's is 03335, and the definition's probably identical with 3334, and you can look all this up for yourself. It's through the squeezing into shape, to mould into a form, just like a potter, figuratively to determine and form a resolution, fashion, form, frame, make, purpose. And this is quite interesting about breathed, and he breathed is nafar. And if you want to look it up, it's 05301 in Strong's. Definition, it's a primary to puff. In various applications, literally to inflate, blow hard, scatter, kindle, expire, you know, give up, blow, breath, give up, cause to lose life, seething, snuff, all these various things explain what it is. And the word breath, they breathe and breath. And the word breath is neshomor, and that's 05397 in Strong's, and it's from 5395, a puff i.e. a wind, angry or vital breath. So God had created Adam, and there he was, he'd formed him, and he was going to breathe in him, but it wasn't just a, it was a vital breath. It was like when you have to give someone a breath of life, they've stopped breathing. You don't just go stand over their nose and go, you won't achieve anything. You've got to get on there, and you've got to breathe. And God got down, and he got on top of Abraham, on top of Adam there, and he went, and why did he not do it in his mouth? Why did he do it in his nose? And he did. He gave that blast, that inspiration, that spirit. And so why did God breathe into the nostrils of Adam and Eve? Well, here's some facts for you that the medical specialist will tell you. Breathing through your nose allows you to take deeper breaths, which engages the lower lungs. And when the lower lungs become active, they pump more oxygen into the rest of your body. More oxygen means more support for your cells and maintains healthy tissue and organ function. Nose breathing is more beneficial than mouth breathing. Breathing through your nose can help filter out dust, allergens, boost your oxygen uptake, and humidify the air you breathe in. Mouth breathing, on the other hand, can dry out your mouth. This may increase your risk of bad breath and gum inflammation. And I know what that's like because I don't breathe that easy through my nose, especially on one side, the channel is collapsed. And at night, I find myself breathing through my mouth because I can't get enough oxygen through. And I wake up and I have to keep water by, but I'm as dry as anything because I cannot get what I need from my nose, you know. So I understand that, and it's true. And God did, it was with purpose what God did. When I read this and saw it, I thought, yeah, I can just see it. You know, the determination. He created Adam. There he was. He had the whole future of mankind mapped out. The blessing was there. And then he breathed in. But he breathed with intent. He filled those lungs. So they filled right up. And then they cut up. They started breathing. And a man started to live. Hallelujah. And God didn't and doesn't do anything on a whim. He had all creation planned out and to the finest detail beforehand. He did the same when he created man, but with one difference. He used himself as the pattern. He copied himself. Hallelujah. We are in his image. You want to know what God looks like? He looks like us, but not in our fallen state, as we will be when we're glorified again. And when we get back like him, I believe in better than what Adam and Eve were in the garden, because we've been redeemed. We've come right through. Hallelujah. We've walked a path they never did. Hallelujah. And God had a plan for man for the foundation of the earth. And that plan included redemption. Long before God ever said, let us make man in our image, he saw that the devil would tempt Adam and Eve and they would sin. And God foresaw the consequences and agreed before man ever came into being that Jesus would go to the cross and pay the price. From the outset, God saw every born-again believer as made perfectly in his image. And he still sees us that way. And we'll just finish with this for tonight. 1 Peter 1, 18-21. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And Genesis 1:28 says, and God blessed them and said to them, and God blessed them. He blessed them. And then he told them to be fruitful. He blessed them. I'll read the rest of scripture before you know what it says. But that word blessed means barak, which we've said, to kneel, and by implication to bless God. An act of adoration. And vice versa. And you can look that up in Strong's 01288. And said is Strong is Amar, which is Strong's 0559. Root to say with great latitude, answer, appoint, avouch, bid, boast, self, call, certify, challenge, to charge, command, commune, consider, declare, demand. There was some power in that blessing. And this is God's unchanging plan and purpose for his family. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and it adds with it no sorrow.